Here's an exercise that will help you see the difference between passion and addiction. Make a list of your daily activities, including your leisure activities. For each activity, ask yourself the following questions and write down your answers. Does it unfold in its own time, or do I push it? Does it open possibilities or close them? Does it open perceptions or close them? Am I avoiding my emotions or welcoming them? Is this an unfolding of joy or an unfolding of fear? Am I only self-concerned, or do I care for others and the earth? Is this a passion or a diversion? Here's some helpful information about unraveling a sexual addiction. Stage one of a sexual addiction is denial. I'm just a loving person. Maybe there is something to look at. It's not a problem, but I'll look at it if you're upset about it. Stage two is acceptance. There is something here. This could be a problem. All right. Maybe there is a problem. Okay. There's a problem. This is a big problem. Stage three is opening to healing. I am out of control. Here's a life lesson to help you explore addictions, possibly in yourself. This week, search inside yourself for any addictions you might have, even if you can't imagine yourself having an addiction. Remember, an addiction is a very strong, frightened part of your personality, and everyone has frightened parts of their personalities. Be aware of any story you have about this behavior. A story is not your history. Your history is simply what happened to you. Your story is what you tell yourself and others to explain why you are the way you are and why you are not going to change. For example, I had an alcoholic father. I was sexually abused as a child. My parents divorced when I was young, and so on. If you do not think you have any addictions, recall a part of your personality that you notice is sometimes out of your control, such as overeating, watching TV, playing cards, drinking wine with dinner, things like that. As soon as you recognize this part of your personality, write down the story you've been telling yourself about being the way that you are when you would rather be different, or for your life not working the way that you want. Write in terms of parts of your personality. For example, I have a frightened part of my personality that works, or reads, watches TV, fixes things, and so on, all the time. Or, I have a frightened part of my personality that feels it has a right to do nothing, or that feels guilty about doing nothing, etc. Set your intention each morning to find opportunities you've been given to create authentic power that you did not recognize in the past. Remember that whatever you discover is part of your curriculum in the Earth School. and be gentle with yourself. At the end of the week, write down your answers to these questions. What differences are you able to see between the way you told your story at the beginning of the week and the way you see it now? Were you able to see the behavior of a frightened part of your personality that you did not previously recognize as an addiction? Were you able to recognize an addiction that you were aware of in the past, but that you can now see as a frightened part of your personality? How has this affected your perception of yourself? To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 10 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG10. Chapter 11. There are certain growing dynamics that can occur only within the dynamic of commitment. Without commitment, you cannot learn to care for another person more than yourself. The archetype of spiritual partnership is designed for the conscious journey of multisensory humans toward authentic power. This is different from the archetype of marriage, which was designed to assist physical survival, and in which the partners do not necessarily see themselves as equals. When you commit to a spiritual partnership with another human being, or other human beings, you begin to value your partner's contribution to your development and to experience their perceptions and observations as helpful, and indeed, central to your growth, to see that conversations between you stir deep waters. You learn to trust not only one another, but also your ability to grow together. You are related to every form of life with a capital L upon this planet and beyond. In other words, as you choose to participate consciously in more inclusive levels of interaction, you take on not only your own transformation, but also those of the larger collectives in which you participate. Your evolution towards authentic power, therefore, affects not only you. So let's look at relationships. Without commitment, you cannot learn to see others as your soul sees them, as beautiful spirits of light with a capital L. Spiritual partnership is partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. Spiritual partners recognize the existence of the soul and consciously seek to further its evolution. They set aside the wants of their personalities in order to accommodate the needs of their partner's spiritual growth. This is how spiritual partnership works. Individuals in spiritual partnership at the level of organization, city, nation, race, and sex create new values and behaviors at these levels. The choice is always between lower frequency energies of the personality, which are of fear and doubt, and higher frequency energies of the soul, which are love and trust. The external power that separates nations is the same that separates individuals. Individuals who align themselves with their souls will bring their sexes, races, nations, and neighbors into harmony. It is not just you that is evolving through your decisions, but the entirety of humanity. What is in one is in the whole, and therefore Each of us is ultimately responsible for the whole world. Here's some questions that can help you see how different spiritual partnerships are from every other form of relationship. Because you are listening to this audiobook, you may already be experimenting with spiritual partnerships without even thinking in these terms, or are attracted to them. Use these questions to look at yourself as a potential spiritual partner. What especially resonates with you about being a spiritual partner? What about the idea of being a spiritual partner feels difficult to you? What does it feel like to you to feel equal with others? If you cannot think of an experience of feeling equal, and this is common, imagine what it would feel like. How do you think the world would be different if everyone thought in terms of choosing between love and fear with each choice? How would your world be different if you thought in terms of choosing between love and fear with each choice? Here's a very helpful exercise. It's called doing it differently. Do the opposite of what you usually do when you're in a power struggle. Which role do you usually play in a particular relationship? Superior or inferior? If you are studying in a group, or if your partner is willing, role play the opposite way. In other words, if you are usually inferior, role play being superior, and the other way around. Imagine that you have been in this power struggle many times before, which you have. But this time, you are going to change what you usually do. If you usually yell, you're going to withdraw. If you usually withdraw, you're going to get defensive and argumentative. Now for the second part of this exercise, it will help you to use the Authentic Power Guidelines. You can download the Authentic Power Guidelines for free from seatofthesoul.com. And even if you're not in a position to download these guidelines now, continue with this exercise and then come back to it using the Authentic Power Guidelines. Now imagine that you're going to have the same power struggle, but this time you're going to practice using the Authentic Power Guidelines. Role play with your partner how you would interact differently in a power struggle. Imagine how you would handle the power struggle in yourself, and act and speak from the healthiest parts of you that you can in the moment. Write some notes in your journal to remind you to be aware when you enter a power struggle, or when you react in any way. These will help you remember to respond instead of react when a fear-based part of your personality becomes activated. Here's a lovely life lesson that will help you experience some of the most wonderful aspects of a conscious relationship, and especially a spiritual partnership. Open yourself to cultivating loving parts of your personality. Every day this week, set your intention to do everything you can to choose love with every person you encounter. During your interactions, take notes about your experiences. Notice when loving parts of your personality are active and when frightened parts are active. If you had difficulty experiencing equality, be gentle with yourself. Set your intention again to cultivate the loving parts of your personality because they always feel equal with others, and challenge the frightened parts of your personality because they always feel superior or inferior. At the end of the week, write your answers to these questions. If you're studying with a group, share them. What were two instances when you consciously chose to create with a loving part of your personality and experienced equality with others? What thoughts and intentions were you having? What physical sensations were you having? Write at least one specific consequence that occurred as a result of your choice to create with a loving part of the personality. What have you learned about yourself from this life lesson? Now let's try an interactive exercise with a potential spiritual partner. Pick someone you would like to have a deeper and more substantive relationship with. For example, a friend, sibling, spouse, or co-worker from whom you would be willing to receive feedback about yourself. Now pick a frightened part of your personality that you want to focus on. One that you don't always notice until after you've acted on it. For example, a part of your personality that is angry and shouts, or feels superior and acts entitled, or feels inferior and tries to please others. Make sure this is a part of your personality that you would like help in seeing when it becomes active, so that you can challenge it before it creates painful consequences for you again. Now, ask the person you chose to tell you when he or she thinks that part of your personality is active. Write all your interactions in your journal, and also write what you learned about yourself from each one. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 11 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG11. Chapter 12. Awareness of our souls lies at the heart of creating authentic power, and the need to create authentic power. Since our origin as a species, we have experienced ourselves as personalities, time-bound between birth and death, fearful and limited. Religions speak of souls, but few people act as though they have a soul. Multisensory perception is changing all this. The choice between personality and its fear, and soul and its love, is now the pivot point of our evolution. And you must choose to align yourself with your soul again and again in order to evolve. Each choice that you make brings you closer to the earth and your personality, or to your soul and its unfathomable love. Human evolution now requires us to take the health and evolution of our souls into account. This is new, entirely new. So what is your soul? Your soul is the essence of who you are. It is the powerful, expansive, evolving center of all that you are. As we become multisensory, we become able for the first time to consider our souls in real and practical ways, to relate them to our experiences, and investigate how we can use knowledge of our souls to create the most constructive lives that we can and assist our souls on their evolutionary journeys. The idea of a soul as a static, perfect entity is a sterile attempt to understand it as an ideal form, as Plato put it. The universe and everything in it evolves toward greater awareness and freedom. Your soul is of the universe, with a capital U, or divine intelligence, with a capital D and a capital I. Divine intelligence takes on individual forms, droplets, massively reducing its power to small particles of individual consciousness. The power in each particle is as full, immortal, creative, and expressive as it is in the whole. But its energy is reduced appropriately to its form. As that little form grows in power and selfhood, it becomes larger and more divine, with a capital D. Then it becomes divine intelligence, with a capital D and a capital I. Your soul is such a particle. This process parallels the process of your personality, which is of your soul, expanding into your higher self, the full power of your soul incarnate. It also parallels the process of your personality and your higher self re-entering the fullness of your soul when you leave the earth. You cannot appreciate the immensity of what you are and the processes in which you are participating without taking into account your soul. Here are some questions to help you think about your soul. Spend some time with these questions and write down the thoughts that come to you. Come back to them often and notice if your answers change. Have you ever really thought about the soul? About your soul? Consider, if I have a soul, what is my soul? Ask yourself, what does my soul want? Then ask yourself, what is the relationship between my soul and me? Then ask yourself, how does my soul affect my life? Here's a helpful thought about the Earth School. It's called the Purpose of the Earth School. The purpose of the Earth School is to assist you in learning how to create authentic power, to inhabit the Earth with the perceptions, values, and goals of your soul. They are harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life, with a capital L. Here's some exercises that will help you begin to look at your soul. The first one's called See What Happens. Pick an intention of the soul: harmony, cooperation, sharing, or reverence for life, with a capital L, that you feel you need most in your life. For the next 30 days, set this intention each morning. Each night, review your day and notice when you chose it with your words and actions and when you did not. What happened when you chose your intention of the soul? What happened when you did not? And this exercise is called Seeing Differently. Think of a person you've known for a long time but you don't feel close to, and you would like to? Do you feel inferior to, or jealous of this person? Or perhaps superior and judgmental? Why do you feel distant from this person? Have you been looking only at his or her earth suit? Have you been focusing on her deeds and how he dresses? Have you had a misunderstanding or a fight? Have your lives taken you in different directions? Open to the possibility of seeing this person differently. Then close your eyes, if you're in a place that's safe for you to do that, and picture this person. Set your intention to see beyond the appearances of her or his earth suit. Remind yourself that you don't know all that goes into his or her life. Challenges and fears, joys and terror. Remember that you are a soul, and so is this person. Notice how you feel about this person now. Do you feel compassion? If not, do this exercise over and over until you feel a shift from contraction to openness. From seeing this person only as a personality, to knowing that he or she is a soul wearing an earth suit. Allow yourself to feel the instant that your fear, judgment, and disdain disappear, and reverence appears. Here is a true story. My adopted Sioux brother, Phil Lane Jr., told it to me. A female elder once asked him, "Nephew, what is the holiest of all ceremonies?" My Sioux brother thought carefully, and then answered, "Vision Quest, Sweat Lodge, or Sundance." "Yes," said the old woman, "those are all holy and sacred ceremonies. But the holiest of all ceremonies is the birth of a child." Then she looked directly at him and asked, "Then what does that make you?" To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 12 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG12. Chapter 13. Now that we are becoming multisensory, a new psychology, spiritual psychology, is needed. The personality is specific aspects of the soul reduced to a physical form. Therefore, dysfunctions of the personality cannot be understood without an understanding of the soul. Psychology seeks to heal the personality without recognizing the force of the soul that lies behind the configuration and experiences of the personality, and, therefore, it cannot heal at the level of the soul. The characteristics of a personality cannot always be understood in terms of the history of the personality, because they may reflect experiences that predate the personality, in some cases, by centuries. The healing power at the core of psychology is the power of consciousness, seeking out, facing with courage, and bringing into the light of consciousness that which is unconscious, and therefore, in a position of power over the personality, is what heals. When that which needs to be made conscious is not recognized to exist, such as experiences of lifetimes that were lived in other places and at other times. It cannot be healed in this way. Spiritual psychology will illuminate the relationship between the personality and the soul. It will make explicit the effects of interactions between personalities from the perspective of the impersonal energy dynamics that they set into motion, and show how these dynamics can be used to heal. So what is the new spiritual psychology? Psychology means soul knowledge. But because five-sensory psychology does not recognize the existence of the soul, it cannot understand the soul's temperament, what it can and cannot tolerate, what contributes to its health, and what breaks its health down. The fears, angers, and jealousies that deform a personality cannot be understood apart from the karmic circumstances they serve. Without awareness of the experiences of other lifetimes of your soul, you cannot appreciate the potential awakenings that your interactions with others offer you. Your experiences are karmic necessities. When you realize this, you can choose not to react to them personally. When you engage in brutality, abundances of pain, irrationality, non-forgiveness, jealousies, hatreds, or lying to others, you diminish the strength of your soul, not to be confused with its immortality. Creating authentic power requires that you recognize the existence of your soul and grow in knowledge of what it is and what it wants. Spiritual psychology is a disciplined and systematic study of these things. Here are some questions to consider. You can contribute to the creation of spiritual psychology, even if you do not have a degree in psychology. These questions will help you learn more about your soul and your relationship to your soul. What other questions can you ask yourself? Have you seriously considered the existence of your soul? Have you ever thought in terms of consciously assisting your soul in its evolution? If you really believe that brutality, abundances of pain, irrationality, non-forgiveness, jealousies, hatreds, and lying to others prevent you from assisting your soul to evolve, would you think twice before indulging in them? If your experiences really were karmic necessities, what could you accomplish by becoming upset with the people who bring them into your life? How do you feel about the idea of living your life with an awareness of your soul and what would be best for your soul? Here are some exercises that will help you begin to explore your soul and what it feels like in your life. This one's called Fellow Travelers. Close your eyes if it's safe for you to do that now. Visualize a particularly painful experience that you have had. Imagine for the moment that someone around you, or someone in your life who is not with you at this moment, has had experiences like yours. Maybe not exactly like yours, but is painful and is difficult in every way. Allow yourself to open to seeing this person with this new information, and open to a deeper perspective and connection with him or her, because you know that he or she has suffered and been challenged as you have suffered and been challenged. Appreciate the depth and pain of this person's experiences as much as you appreciate the depth and pain of your own. See yourselves as fellow travelers who are on a voyage together, and that the voyage is sometimes long and difficult. Allow your heart to open to this person as a voyager with whom you have a great deal in common. See him or her as a fellow student in the Earth School with your new understanding and experience of what it means to be a student in the Earth School yourself. This exercise is called Authentic Needs, and it will help you to look at exactly what an authentic need is. When you strive to fulfill an artificial need, you are pursuing external power, the ability to manipulate and control. A frightened part of your personality is controlling you. You strive to feel better about yourself and safe. If your need is artificial, you will be attached to having it met. On the other hand, when you strive to fulfill your authentic needs, you are creating authentic power. You are choosing from a loving part of your personality that is in alignment with your soul and always strives to create authentic power. The universe, with a capital U, is that which fulfills your authentic needs, such as the need to grow spiritually, to co-create for the common good, to love and to be loved, and to contribute to life with a capital L. It's easy to get caught in frightened parts of your personality and their artificial needs. Sometimes these parts of your personality are so familiar to you that they're very difficult to see unless you focus on becoming aware of them. Set your intention each day to recognize the difference between your artificial needs and your authentic needs. The needs that come from frightened parts of your personality are artificial. They are means of manipulating and controlling. Your authentic needs are to love and be loved, to give the gifts that your soul wants to give, and to create authentic power among others. Make a list of your authentic needs and your artificial needs this week. Let your intuition guide you in distinguishing between them. At the end of the week, write in your journal what you discovered regarding your authentic needs and your artificial needs, and give examples of each. What was the most surprising discovery you made about yourself and artificial needs versus authentic needs? To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 13 study guide with videos, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG13. Chapter 14. Some traditions speak of life as an illusion. But getting hit by a truck, becoming ill, and having your home foreclosed are very real events. How can we speak of concrete circumstances such as these as illusions? Each interaction with each individual and circumstance is part of a continual learning dynamic. This dynamic provides each individual at each moment a perfect opportunity to grow spiritually. Each interaction creates emotions within us, and each emotion is an experience of love or an experience of fear. Sooner or later, sometimes lifetimes later, we begin to see that acting on fear, such as anger, resentment, and jealousy, creates painful consequences. This is the law of cause and effect. And it also attracts others with these same energies. This is the law of attraction. And that when we act with love, such as gratitude, appreciation, patience, and caring, we create blissful consequences and also attract like energy. Eventually, we become more interested in acting with love instead of with fear. Regardless of what is happening around us, including accidents, illness, and foreclosures, and regardless of what is happening inside us, including anger, resentment, and jealousy. Eventually, we see everything as an opportunity to create with love instead of fear. This is spiritual growth. Fear creates the illusion that something should not have happened, that painful experiences are negative, and love dispels this illusion. Consciously using the illusion to grow spiritually is creating authentic power. Let's look at the illusion more clearly. The illusion allows each soul to perceive what it needs to understand in order to heal. The illusion for each soul is created by its intentions. A personality that lives in love and light, with a capital L, can see the illusion and not be drawn into it. Every experience of fear, anger, or jealousy is an illusion designed to bring your awareness to parts of your personality that require healing. The illusion has no power over you when you are fully aligned with your soul. Each personality attracts others with like consciousness. This is the law of attraction. Anger attracts anger. Greed attracts greed. Compassion attracts compassion. Human emotions fall into two groups, love and fear. The illusion of each personality is generated by the frightened parts of its personality. The personality that follows a frightened part of itself chooses negative behavior, experiences the same behavior from another person, this is the law of karma, and again receives the opportunity to release that negativity. This is how the illusion works. Here are some questions to help you begin to look at the illusion from a different perspective. Take your time with them. Return to them frequently. When you are angry, how justified does your anger seem to you? When you are jealous, how painful is your jealousy? Have you ever considered that your painful emotions might be showing you parts of your personality that you need to heal? What would your life be like if you were not controlled by the frightened parts of your personality? What kind of people would you attract to you then? There are many forms of fear, and so there are many illusions. This exercise examines the illusions of inferior and superior. Recall someone you usually feel inferior to. It may be a friend, intimate partner, neighbor, family member, or anyone else. Recall a specific time when you felt inferior to this person. Notice the physical sensations in your energy centers, your thoughts, and your perceptions. See if you can recognize your intention toward this person. Now recall someone you usually feel superior to. It may be a family member, a friend, intimate partner, neighbor, or anyone else. Recall a specific time when you felt superior to this person. Notice the physical sensations in your energy centers, your thoughts, and your perceptions. See if you can recognize your intention toward this person. Write in your journal what you discovered. If you are studying with someone, share what you learned with each other. Here's another exercise. This one's called, If I Were. Before you speak or act, notice what you are feeling and where you are feeling it. For example, if you feel the need to please someone, focus your attention on your chest area, your throat area, and your solar plexus area. Notice whether or not you are feeling painful sensations in the vicinity of an energy processing center. Give yourself a minute or more to do this. Now think of a time you felt unconditionally loved. It may have been by a parent, friend, or relative. It may have been by the universe, with a capital U. Give yourself a minute or more to do this. Focus your attention on your chest area, your throat area, and your solar plexus area. Notice whether or not you are experiencing good-feeling physical sensations in the vicinity of an energy processing center. Then ask yourself, what would I say or do differently if I were worthy and adequate? And here's another exercise that will give you insight into the illusion. It's called Everything as an Opportunity. Practice seeing everything as an opportunity to create with love instead of fear, including all trauma and drama. For example, your favorite team losing a game, finding your car tire flat, your child getting into trouble at school, and so on. Remember each time that your painful emotional reactions are part of an illusion that is offering you an opportunity to create with love instead of fear, to accelerate your spiritual growth. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 14 study guide with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG14. Chapter 15. At the heart of our unprecedented transformation from a five-sensory species that evolves by surviving into a multi-sensory species that evolves by growing spiritually is a new understanding of power. The old understanding is the ability to manipulate and control. The new understanding of power is the alignment of the personality with the soul. Multisensory perception and the new understanding of power cannot be separated. Multisensory perception is emerging within us whether or not we ask for it. Authentic power is our new potential. Each of us must create it for ourselves. Those who do not will continue unconsciously to manipulate and control, and thereby unconsciously create violent and destructive consequences. This is the new lay of the land. All of our old maps are obsolete. We are now evolving in uncharted territory. Our new pole star is the soul and its intentions, harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life with a capital L. Our tools are emotional awareness, responsible choice, and intuition. The new requirements of our evolution are commitment to growing spiritually, courage to enter our lives consciously, compassion for ourselves and others, and conscious communications and actions that serve our spiritual development and support the spiritual development of others. Never before has a transformation of human consciousness occurred. Until now, the content of consciousness has changed. This is our history. Now our history, like a great river, has taken an abrupt plunge into new meaning, astonishing depth, immeasurable richness, and unimaginable fulfillment. Now is the time for us to swim in the great river consciously, instead of being carried unconsciously through our lives by it, to see who is in the river with us, and to celebrate. What exactly is this new power, authentic power? Authentic power is energy that is formed by the intentions of the soul. It is light with a capital L, shaped by love and compassion, guided by wisdom. There is no power in fear, or in any of the activities generated by fear. When energy leaves you in fear or distrust, you experience physical pain in your body near the energy centers that are losing power. For example, when you feel that you cannot care for or protect yourself, you feel pain or discomfort in your stomach area. When you feel that you cannot give or receive love, you feel pain or discomfort in your chest area. Every physical dysfunction can be understood as a loss of power to an external circumstance or object through one of the seven energy centers in the body. When energy leaves you in any way except in strength and trust, it brings you only pain and discomfort. An authentically empowered human releases its energy only in love and trust. The characteristics of an authentically empowered personality are humbleness, forgiveness, clarity, and love. These questions will help you begin to look at power in a new way. Return to them as often as you think answering them will be helpful to you. Have you ever thought about power in terms of love, compassion, and wisdom? Have you ever considered painful physical sensations such as heartache and anxiety as experiences of losing power? Think of the people in your life that you consider to be the most powerful. Are they humble, forgiving, wise, and loving? What does this tell you about the way you're thinking about power? Are you powerful? This exercise will help you to see more about authentic power. It's called, I Really Want to Learn This One. Pick a time when something happened to you that you had a strong reaction to. Perhaps you were very upset, angry, shocked, or deeply felt a loss. Did you cry? Rage? Feel confused? Or withdraw and become very depressed? Remember how you acted. What physical sensations did you feel in your throat, chest, or solar plexus? Close your eyes if it's safe for you to do that now. Go back in your mind to that experience. This time, before you take action, feel the physical sensations in your body. Say to yourself, I intend to learn the lessons my soul wants me to learn from this experience. Open yourself. Be patient. Give yourself time, and don't expect that you will see immediately what you are to learn, although that is possible. Open your eyes and write down what you discover. Here's some useful information. Creating authentic power transforms your life in many ways, and these are some of them. It transforms experience into experiments. It transforms the experience of victim into the experiences of creator. It transforms theories into a life of meaning. Here's a last exercise about authentic power and how to use it. It's called Using My Will. Recall a time when something happened and you had a strong reaction. For example, a time when you were very upset and you withdrew and cried. Angry and you raged at people you felt were at fault. Shocked and you walked around confused for days. Or deeply felt a loss and you became depressed for months. Remember how you acted and what you felt in your body. For example, the physical sensations you experienced in your throat, chest, and solar plexus. Imagine that this time, you get to make a new choice. That this time, you can use your will to challenge the part of your personality that reacted habitually. As you recall this experience, experiment in your mind, and in your heart, if you choose, with making these choices. Not to react while you are feeling the painful physical sensations in your body. To act with an intention of your soul while you are feeling the painful physical sensations in your body. To see a multimedia extension of this Chapter 15 study guide, with video, meditation, and support for study groups, go to seatofthesoul.com/SG15. Chapter 16. Trust is developed step by step. It requires openness to new thoughts, new ways of looking at things, and new ways of thinking. If openness is replaced by blind adherence to dogma, a fundamentalism is born instead of trust. Rigid, demanding, righteous, and intimidating. Cliques, cultures, and congregations come into being that refuse to explore the endless diversity and boundless richness of life with a capital L.